Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Bar Buddies, Tales from the Bar. I am your host, Jen Noga, and today I am here with a very special, very cool guest. You may introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Sophia Zarzuela. I'm 20, I'm from Brooklyn, and I'm a musician.
You're 20, wow. I just turned 22, so like, it still makes me, it makes me feel old for some reason.
Oh, how is it? How is it on that side of being 20?
I'm like 3 more years away from 25 and then I'm dead, you know?
No, that's so fun and exciting.
I know.
You get to have like your rom-com arc.
I know. I'm ready for it. My rom-com arc is already in the works. I have a situationship with a man who is 7 hours away. And neither of us really want to date right now. So
no.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That's how it begins.
Yes. So we're already in the works. So my very first question that I ask everybody is, what is your favorite 90s bop?
Ooh. Of like all time, I have to think about it. But for right now, I think Violet by Hole.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever heard that one.
It's so good. It's like one of her best like screaming songs.
Amazing. Okay. So I try to do a little bit of background information on everybody, but you know, I didn't really do as much, mostly because this week has been just a shit show, but also because your Instagram is like very like aesthetic and less like personal. So I just wanted to like get to know you as a person. So I Googled some, what do you ask new people questions? Cause I haven't done this in a while. So, my first question for you is, what is something that you would never, ever do?
Oh my goodness. Work in finance.
Oh, I was this close to becoming a business bro before I dropped out of college. This close.
Oh my God, wait, I'm so glad that your life path took you away from that. It seems very scary.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of math involved and I'm not good at math. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm gay, I'm not good at math.
No, yeah, exactly.
Why not? Does finance just seem scary because it's like full of dude bros, or is it just like the math aspect?
Okay, so I've been thinking about it a lot lately because I'm like a reverent fan of Riverdale, and they just did a 7-year time jump and they put Veronica into, she's like a Wall Street banker, I think. She like keeps calling herself like the She-Wolf of Wall Street. And so it's been on the forefront of my mind and it just seems like a nightmare.
Okay, speaking of Riverdale, please just tell me what the fuck is going on in your best, in your words, because I watched season one and everything that I know about Riverdale from here on out is from my friend Mira, and she hasn't watched in a while, but I saw that like they did, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Okay. Basically, it's like a work of genius. Postmodern masterpiece, etc. Like every single season, they take 4 or 5 of the main characters and they give them each different plot lines that are super rooted in either like movie tropes or specific movies or like books. So like there will be serial killers and then suddenly like Jughead is like doing the secret history and like there's like everyone's addicted to like heroin and like playing like Dungeons and Dragons, and then they just did a 7-year time jump, so now they're all adults and like Betty is like in the FBI and she's like doing Silence of the Lambs, and like Veronica, if you've seen Uncut Gems with like Adam Sandler, Veronica is Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems. So yeah, it's like genius and really good.
I remember about Riverdale are a few things. Polly and Jason were cousins.
Yes.
And that was like right off the bat. So they told us who they were going to be very, very quickly. That Jailhouse Rock, the epic highs and lows of high school football.
That one is like, that's the one episode that I can't. Like normally, like I think it's like very campy and very smart, but that is the one episode that I cannot watch. it like it hurts.
I like watch it from afar because I don't know. It scares me just a little bit because
they referenced that in last night's episode. Like in the 7-year time jump, Archie wants to bring back Riverdale's football team, and Jughead's like, as long as you don't bring up the epic highs and lows of high school football again, you can become self-aware.
It's scary a little bit to me because I look at it and I go, people get paid to write this. And then it makes me feel a little...
It seems so fun.
It makes me feel a little bit better that no matter whatever I produce, I can always compare it to Riverdale. Not like in a bad way, but
My dream, I want to find my way onto that writer's staff. I think I would do great things for the show.
If you do, you got to let me know if they do a Coke with the same writers of 13 Reasons Why. Cause
yes, absolutely. They share some of the same actors, so.
Oh, perfect. Which one?
The chances are high.
Do you know?
Season one, Reggie Mantle.
Yes, I do remember.
He switched onto 13 Reasons Why, and then they recast him.
Yeah, I do. I am a fan of Ross Butler. What a man. But what other TV shows do you like?
Oh my God. I love TV. Like TV is like the way through which I understand the world. It's such a big thing for me. My other huge show is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I have seen it like a million times. I'm rewatching it right now. I think it's so, so genius. But otherwise, I just really like gauzy, trashy teenage TV. Like, I just restarted Pretty Little Liars. My friends have been really into Teen Wolf for a while. Like, anything with that, like, tinge to it.
I love Teen Wolf. I have seen it all 100 episodes. there's some very big leaps that you have to make for it, but I own 3 Teen Wolf hoodies. That's how, like, into Teen Wolf I was. So...
That rocks.
I embrace my trashiness because I have a lot of friends who are like older than me, so that's how we stay like connected, is sometimes we'll rewatch these shows and I'll be like, how the fuck? I was like, the plot, because like they go from like one season where they're sophomores and then the next season they're seniors, but no time has passed. And I went, where'd the time go? What happened?
It's crazy. It's so interesting. Like, I've been thinking a lot about the way that movies and TV shows that are set in high school, like, create this different canon of high school that isn't real, but, like, it has so many shared features. So, like, having, like, all these people who are in their 20s and beautiful and, like, have a lot of freedom and, like, don't really ever go to class and, like, they're always in, like, either the Midwest or, like, California, and the way that that becomes its own, like, genre of high school, but it doesn't really exist. It's very cool.
It is interesting because, like, I remember when I was going into high school, like, I was like, oh, this is what it is. And I was like, oh, all my friends who are like 18 are like, they understand so much. And now I know that they were just faking it and I'm still faking it. But have you ever seen Not Another Teen Movie?
I love that movie. I actually, last month, all of my friends were on acid and I wasn't because that scares me. But as they came up on acid, that was the movie that we watched.
Nice. what was their experience? Like, because I want to know what that movie is like. I feel like it's enhanced by drugs. It was already good, but I feel like it's like enhanced by drugs.
They were really into it. I remember at a certain point, one of my friends being like, are their faces supposed to be like moving around on the screen this much? And I was like, I don't think so. But they were really into it, which is good because I kind of thought it was going to be a movie that I was going to watch alone.
It's like that movie to me seems like what you would be like very into based on the yeah. very little information I know about TV shows.
Yeah.
So the next question, I wrote them all out of order because I have ADHD, so
all good.
So is TikTok like your claim to fame in your like friend group?
No, not at all, actually. Like, two of my closest friends are significantly more like on TikTok than I am. This was like my first, or like one of my first videos to blow up on TikTok. There's this, my friends and I are always joking about this genre of TikToks. That's like the help me girl TikTok. And it's like a girl and she's like really fucked up and she's lip syncing to something. And everyone in the comments is like, oh my God, I hope you get home safe. And so a bunch of my friends were like living together in a house and we had taken Molly. And like all night I was like, I have to make a help me girl TikTok. I want to blow up. I want to be like the other girls. And then I took like a video of me taking out my contacts. And for whatever reason, it like boosted and got traction. And I think that's part of the reason why the videos that I uploaded of my music were able to like reach as many people as they did.
Do you feel like TikTok has helped your like stream, like your streaming numbers?
Yes. Before I uploaded like the three videos that I did, I had like 200 monthly listeners and now I have 2,700.
Wow.
So like an incredible amount.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's really good though. Cause I'm friends with a band called Last Youth and I went, you know, when they had like this song, their first song had less than 1,000 streams and now they're like at 11,000 like monthly listeners in like 3 years.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, that's always really good. Especially because the Spotify game is hard.
It's really, really hard. That's the thing. And I feel like being someone who's like young and like literate in social media, like I know so little about the music industry, but I'm like, I do watch people blow up like on TikTok or like on Tumblr. So like, that's just what, that's going to be like my promotional route until I learn more.
Okay. So Tumblr. How long have you been on Tumblr?
I've been on Tumblr since like 2012 or 2013.
Oh my God, girl, same.
Yeah.
We are. Okay.
So, we're veterans.
Yes. Were you a part of like Super Hulock Tumblr?
Yes.
Okay.
Except I didn't really watch Sherlock or Supernatural. I just kind of pretended that I did so that I could like get in with all the Doctor Who kids. Were you?
Yeah, I was. I watched Doctor Who and Sherlock, but I got through like two seasons of Supernatural before I was like, eh.
But yeah. I think it's the weakest link, although it's still running, which is insane.
Yeah. No, I think they ended. I think they finally ended. Thank God.
Well, they just like had those two characters like kiss and go to like super gay hell.
Yeah.
Recently.
Or I remember. I think from what it was Cass said, I love you to Dean, and then he went to Turbo Hell. And then
right, yeah.
And then Dean got impaled by a rusty knife and got tinnitus, and then Sam was the only one that got to grow old.
Wait, that's great. I didn't get that much information. That is insane, actually.
Because all of that, you know, the way that information circulates on the internet is very, and he had like this really shitty Party City wig to show, you know, and the glasses to show that he's old. Because I think it was a mess. But yeah, Doctor Who's still going. I don't watch it anymore, but I have a very fond place in my heart for Super Hulock.
Yes, absolutely. Me too.
That, and I still go on Tumblr. I go on Tumblr to lurk and I read fan fiction. Cause I'm making my way through Criminal Minds and I'm on season 7. And mm-hmm. So now I'm like, I know enough to be like, I want to read fanfic about these characters. And Tumblr is the only place that you can consistently go to get like good stuff.
Oh yeah.
Stuff.
It's where you got everything. I feel like being like on Tumblr at a young age and being on like Super Hulock, like Tumblr and whatever was like a place where me and a lot of people I know figured out from a really young age how much fun it is to be like obsessed with something. And like Tumblr is like the most indulgent place to like find a niche of something you really like and find other people who are really funny and really like it.
Yeah. Cause I remember that's how I got introduced to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Actually. I have to like go through and like actually watch it. And I've seen episodes here and there, but cause I'm terrible at watching TV and I have the attention span of like about, oh, my Tamagotchi says hello. What is, I just
oh
got.
Oh my God, it's so cute.
Yeah, he's so tiny. I don't know what he wants. Let's see. Probably turn the sound off, actually. What does he want? I named him Kenneth.
Is it like one of the new ones?
It's like, yeah, it's one of the, I got it at Target for like 20 bucks.
Oh wow, wait, I want one. I remember like the first day that I got to college, like seeing this boy and he had like a Tamagotchi like attached to like his like Carhartt jeans and I thought it was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
I I had the version 3 one, which was like, I think a little bit bigger than these, but you could like connect them with other people's Tamagotchis. So I found one on eBay for about the same price as this. So I bought it and it'll help.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. This is the problem with the ADHD, as I'm like Tamagotchis. 'Cause I didn't even think about it today until I went to Target, and this lady was on the phone really loud. She was like, "What kind of batteries do we need for the Tamagotchi?" And then I was like, Tamagotchi? So now I've parked my cart in Target in the middle of an aisle. And I'm like, does Target sell Tamagotchis? And if so, where are they?
Oh, my God. It was like intercepted by fate.
It was. I was thinking about it and I said, Tamagotchis. But hopefully this one doesn't die, because I have a bad track record.
I have faith. I have faith in you and your rearing abilities.
Because now they describe them as, so they don't die. They go back to their alien planet.
Oh, because they're interesting.
Aliens. So you have,
and then they like respawn.
Yes. So they'll give you a new one. And I like that a lot better than coming home from school and finding the dead little egg with the wings.
Yeah, that is really sad.
That shit haunts me forever. I think about that all the time. So you said that you're not very familiar with the music industry, but so I take it you're independent and you release everything on your own. What is that like, especially being 20 and in college?
Yeah, so I work really closely on my music with my dad, or I did on this album, and I believe that I will in future albums. And my dad is a musician, and he works as a sound engineer for television now, but was working full time as a musician for a while in his 20s and 30s. So he knows a good amount, and I've been kind of like learning from him. But otherwise I just use this website, DistroKid, where you pay like $50 and you can like put as much music up as you want. But it's cool. It's like really, really low pressure. I think I've been putting out music on Bandcamp since I was 14. It used to be like really, really scary, and like now it's not so much, but I definitely want to look into, like, I think I'm going to like try to reach out to record labels and try to get signed, and kind of like situate myself so that when I graduate college, I can go into doing what I want, but it's for sure scary.
Yeah. Because my dad is also a musician. He's in a dad band with a bunch of other dads.
Cute.
Yeah, that's where my future's at. But I like, I love that you work with your dad. That's amazing. Because I'm not good at writing songs. I'm not a performer anymore. So I just steal my dad's podcasting board, and this is it. this is the equivalent. He showed me how to work the board once, and that was it. Mm-hmm. But what is your songwriting process like, especially because you've been writing for so long? Like, how is it, what is it like, and like, how has it evolved?
Yeah, so it's super wordy. When I was younger, I just like knew a couple chords on guitar or on piano and really just base it off that. And I am always like lyric first. I've been having kind of a hard time with like chord progressions. But once I figure that out, it's always like words first, and I'm usually writing about things. Whoa, I dropped my thumb. I'm usually writing about things like as they happen to me, as like a way to like cope or like figure out like what they are. And then working with my dad has been great because he knows so much about production. So like I can be like, okay, like I have this song, I want it to sound like Charlie Bliss, or like I want it to sound like Solange or Mitski, and I can like play him songs, and he can identify like the instrumentation that's in them and kind of help me like make them what I want to be.
Are those some of your, like, do you have any more like influences, like musical or otherwise, like other than
Taylor Swift is a huge one. Taylor Swift has been my favorite musician since I was like maybe 8. Frankie Cosmos, I think most girls who write indie music, like she kind of like started it all. And I love Hole. I love like bratty 90s music, Liz Phair, a lot of stuff like that.
Liz Phair has a special place in my heart. Oh no.
Sorry. I had to, yeah. Ah,
there we go.
Sorry. I got to, let me put my phone on do not disturb.
It does happen.
Okay. I'm back. I'm in.
It does happen. Cause the first one that I did, cause I did this over the summer, when, you know, like quarantine happened, like that particular era. And then, when I restarted this a couple of months ago, I forgot to turn my computer on do not disturb. And I was using my AirPods, so I had my volume up all the way because I can't hear for shit, right? And then the group chat started blowing up. So now my ears are like...
Oh, no!
So now my computer is pinging and my ears are ringing. And I was like, everybody just take a pause. I was like, I need everything. I just like, quiet.
Silence. Yeah.
Do you have... Are you... Does that ever happen to you? Like when you're in the middle of something and then... The group chat.
Yes, for sure. I in fact, my group chat just now was like blowing up because like two of our friends started going out, I guess, from what I gleaned. And I was like, I need to not read this right now.
That's juicy information because I'm not even involved, but that's always super fun when you're just like.
Right? I'm excited to observe now.
Yeah. Because then you get to go back and you get to see everything instead of waiting for it in real time. The waiting game is the hardest, but. It is worth it because then I don't have to wait for it. It's like binge watching TV shows, right? I watch two shows that are live right now, and that's it. And everything else is completed because then I don't have to wait.
It's nice to have everything, but also there's something like I watch every Wednesday night or every Thursday night with like all of my friends, like religiously, we are watching the new episode of Riverdale. Nothing can come between us and watching the new episode of Riverdale. And I like it. It gets me through my week.
Mine is WandaVision on Friday. So I literally was just watching WandaVision before this and I had to fix my makeup because I was like crying and I'm not really a crier. And then I watch 9-1-1 on Mondays with my friend Lauren and that's like our thing.
I have no idea what WandaVision is, but I see things about it all the time. And it seems to be like rife with comparisons and like metaphors.
Yeah. So WandaVision, the TLDR is that, I guess there really is no TLDR when it comes to Marvel. she was a part of phase two, I think. Yeah. And she was introduced in the second Avengers movie. And now we're following her post Avengers Endgame, I think because it was Infinity War, then Endgame. And so now we're trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. How did she make... Okay. So this last episode really delved into her past on how the fuck this entire series got started and then where she's going to go. Because Marvel is just, it's very convoluted and it opens up a lot of doors to... different possibilities, like comic-wise. I'm such a huge comic nerd. that was my Tumblr niche after Super Hulot kind of died down. It was the X-Men. So you've got Spider-Man kind of, he was in his own universe, and then Marvel incorporated him. And right now you got the X-Men over in their own universe, and now they're kind of weaving it in because they took the X-Men version of the same character in Marvel and they use the same actor to play the same character. It's very convoluted, but now they're like, they're bringing that in. It's kind of, you know, now that I'm explaining it, it does kind of sound like Riverdale.
It sounds very similar. But is X-Men and like Avengers, do they overlap?
So in the comics they do, but right now in the movies they don't. I think the rebooted version of the X-Men were really good up until Dark Phoenix, because that one was just trash. And then, but they're gonna bring them in because now Disney owns Fox, which owns the X-Men. So they're gonna bring them in this way through this show that'll lead us to the next big movie. Which is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So then they'll bring him in. At least that's what I think. I don't know for sure.
Uh-huh.
But that's just my educated...
Ooh, that rocks.
That's my educated nerd guess. It's my
that rocks. I hope they do.
It's my educated info dump for today. My other really fun. Have you seen the movie After? Or the second one?
Yes.
Okay.
After We Collided?
Yes. Are you aware that those started as Harry Styles fanfic?
Of course.
Okay. My favorite thing to tell all of my friends is new information is that there is a direct link between 9/11 and the Harry Styles fanfic movie. Would you like to hear it?
No, yes, right. It's like Gerard Way, 9/11.
Yeah, you know what's up. I'm so glad that we're on the same wavelength, and I love that for us.
Yes, it's insane. And it there's like somebody who was like on Tumblr and wrote like Supernatural fan fiction, like got bullied by like the actors at Supernatural, at like a Supernatural convention, and then went on to write a book about like her experience being like a fangirl, and now she's a writer for Riverdale. Oh, it's literally God. All connected.
It's all connected. Or what's the X-Files? It's do 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 or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
I wanted to ask you about your, because I know we briefly, before we got on this wild tangent, this is how it happens. These are the best kinds of conversations. But I did want to ask you, songwriting wise, 121 Elm Street, what's the story behind that?
Yeah, that's the dorm I lived in my sophomore year, which was last year, and that's when I wrote most of my songs. And I am obsessed with horror movies, and I'm obsessed with like kind of like classic suburban like Americana, because I'm from New York City, so like I would see that in TV, but like I didn't really understand like what it was like. And so obviously Elm Street, Nightmare on Elm Street, and there are a lot of like old comics that take place on Elm Street, and so I thought it was like so cool that was also where I lived. And then when we got sent home for COVID, I felt like this very important thing had been like taken away, like a big chunk of it had just been taken away from me, and I like really wanted to immortalize it. And like I lived in that dorm building with like three of my best friends, and like I was never going to live there again. So that's what I like wanted to talk about.
Do you have a particular song on the album that like really means what that really means like the most to you, or that's like deeply personal? And if you don't want to talk about it,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, probably I Want to Go Outside. No, yeah, I think it's probably I Want to Go Outside, which is everything I wrote before COVID except for that song. And I actually wrote that song in COVID isolation because I had a COVID scare, and then I kind of like put it away and didn't work on it for like 6 months, and then I actually got COVID in December, and so I was stuck in my house for 2 weeks, so I finished writing it. And it was just kind of like my year, and it felt very much so like it like completed like the cycle of the album.
Okay, I got COVID tested literally on New Year's Eve. I made it the whole damn year without a COVID test on New Year's Eve, but I ended up not having it. I just had a sinus infection.
Yay, that rocks. I'm glad.
it was you know, it was a not fun sinus infection, but at least it wasn't COVID. But I'm a homebody by nature, so I really haven't seen anybody in like a year and some change. So
oh my God, that is, how are you surviving? Is it okay?
It's, you know, FaceTime. I do a lot of long distance friendships anyways, because a lot of my friends are older than me, so the transition mm-hmm. wasn't that hard. I do sometimes miss just like being with my friends. But most of the time I just hang out at home. I'm pretty content with, life keeps me busy.
Yeah.
Bar buddies keeps me busy. I'm best friends with my brother. So, you know, sometimes I get to annoy him on a more regular basis than just like coming home for the weekend or whatever. Cause I didn't go to college that far away from my hometown, but you know, I tried mm-hmm. to stay there as much as I could.
Yeah.
What's it like being from New York? Because I'm from the suburbs, And I know what suburban life is like, where we just drive to hang out, whereas, like, New York, like, a big city, like, there's, like, stuff to do. So, like, what's, if I were to ever go to New York, what are some things that I should do that aren't, like, touristy?
Ooh, okay. That's so funny, because I was so, I didn't have a lot of friends in high school, and I watched so much TV, and, like, all I wanted was to, like, be in the suburbs and, like, drive around in a car. That was, and I still do think it's the coolest and most fun thing to do. But in New York, I had just started going to, like, bars and, like, clubs right before, like, New York got shut down. So Carmelo's is, like, a really fun bar in, like, I think Williamsburg or Bushwick. And it's, like, $5 for, like, a beer shot combo. And you can sit, like, at the top and, like, look down on both floors of everybody. And my friends and I will play a game where we try to, like, identify NYU students who we've matched with on Tinder. And then we do a lot of, like, hanging out in parks at night. And, oh my God, it's, like, been so long since I've had regular New York. And, like, going to the movies.
Okay. I have two follow-up questions to that. One.
Yeah.
Tinder horror stories. Do you have any?
Oh my God, do I ever. I'm trying to figure out if there are any that I can legally mention. I'll keep this one vague, but I once went on two dates with a guy off Tinder, and we never spoke again after the second date, but he introduced me to his, like, devoutly Catholic friend, and I thought that she was so cool, and she took me to church with her for the first time, and I started going to church, like, every week.
Interesting, because I'm a former Catholic, so.
Oh, I totally get why anyone who was genuinely raised in the Catholic Church would hate it, because it's traumatizing and awful, whereas my entire relationship with Catholicism is, like, just, like, for performance and because I think it's pretty and fun. But my mom and my sister are the same way. They're both, like, super, like, traumatized ex-Catholics, and they, like, do not understand.
It's interesting, though, because I mostly meet a lot of former Catholics. I don't know how or why we all attract each other, but we do. So it is really mm-hmm. interesting to see that you're just like, oh, I go to church. And I was like, that's cool. Especially because, like, you definitely exude, like, the Catholic schoolgirl, like, aesthetic sometimes.
Yes.
The Peter Pan collar. And it was just like, because I'm building my family's, like, photo archive of, like, all the stuff that we don't have digitized. And mm-hmm. I had to go through my old school photos. So I went to Catholic school from kindergarten to fourth grade. And I was like, that's it. That's the vibe with the jumper and the plaid.
That is so funny that you said that, because I was, like, getting dressed this morning, and I put on, like, a elementary school Catholic school uniform that I have, like, my button down shirt and, like, a big sweater vest. And I wear that outfit, like, at least once a week. And then I was like, no, it's cold. I'm going to wear my long skirt today. But, like, I love Catholic clothing.
That is the one thing I did miss when I transferred into public school, was I never had to worry about what I was wearing that day, because I knew yeah. what I was wearing. Now.
Exactly.
Now I got
to
spend.
Now you have to think about it. And it's funny. It's me and, like, all of my close female friends, like, all kind of dressed that way. Like, I remember living in a house with, like, four of my friends, and, like, within a week we had all worn, like, white button-down shirts and, like, plaid school uniforms. In fact, like, my friend who was just in this room and left was wearing, like, that exact outfit today. But it's nice because it's kind of like a uniform. Like, you don't have to think about it.
Yeah. It's just, I there's not a lot of thinking that goes on up here to begin with. So to be like, oh, I have to think about what I'm wearing. Like, this outfit today was outfit number 3. I have a lot of vintage clothes now mm-hmm. because I am recovering from an eating disorder, so my clothes don't fit anymore, which is mm-hmm. good. And
yeah.
So now I'm getting into, like, what I really like now as an adult. So it's more like vintage clothing and vintage jeans. So I was going to wear this 70s school teacher, like, style dress, but then I was like, I'm going to Target and I don't want to. I don't want to wear a dress outside because there's snow on the ground. So
yeah,
I was like, my legs are going to be cold. I know. I don't know what it was, but that I had that urge to wear it, and then I didn't. But it's really pretty. It's like this like burnt orange bottom and like this really funky like top, like button up. It's beautiful. But
it sounds gorgeous.
I have some pretty, I have a 1980s, like ball gown, like a very like vintage, like gown. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but it was really pretty and I couldn't pass it up. So my second follow up, was to the movies. What movies did you guys like to go and see?
I would see literally anything. I had MoviePass for a while in like 2017, which was like this cool thing where like you would pay $15 a month and you could go see like an unlimited amount of movies. So I would see literally everything that was in theaters. And that was the year of like Lady Bird and Call Me By Your Name. But generally I love horror and I will see like any horror in theaters because I think it's like such a perfect thing to go see in theaters. And then during COVID, a drive-in movie theater opened and it played like a lot of like vintage stuff and my vintage, like old movies. And my friend had like an in to go for free. So we went like every single night because it was the only thing to do.
Our nearest drive-in movie is like closer to where I went to college, but I'm a wuss when it comes to horror, and I don't like psychological horror. I find myself very bored. So I saw Hereditary in theaters, and I was bored the whole time. And everyone's like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, I was like bored." And
it's not very good.
I don't understand.
I'm so with you.
I don't understand why everyone's like, "It's the scariest movie of our generation." Like, I'm sorry.
No, they're lying.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark really did me in. Because I watched that. I didn't watch it on Halloween. I watched it on November 1st, and there was, like, a thunderstorm rolling in at the same time because, of course, for comedic effect. And I was like, that one I liked. But I very rarely like horror, especially if it's psychological. But I like horror when it's, like, it's themed. So like Anna and the Apocalypse was like a zombie movie, but it was a Christmas musical. So I really like horror when it's like that, where it's like a comedy or something else. Like it like blends like genres. Cause I'm a big genre blender.
Do you like Scream? I feel like that's like a classic genre blender.
I watched Scream the TV series actually.
So good. It's so good.
I really wish that they had gotten picked up with the original cast for season 3 instead of the new cast because I really just didn't give a shit.
As much season 3, the writing also, it just like wasn't very good.
As much as I love Tyler Posey because I'm pretty sure he was in that, like I just did not give a shit about it. To me, because like they do that Halloween special and then that's it.
Right. Oh my God, I forgot about that. They're all like transported to the island. God, it was so good.
Like, what do you, how are you, I need to know what happened. But is Lady Bird any good? Because I've only seen Booksmart.
Oh, yes. Okay. I didn't love Booksmart. I loved Lady Bird. It also like, it came out when I was like a senior in high school and like it felt like when I was in middle school, I changed my name to Kat, like Kat Valentine, Ariana Grande's character on Victorious, because I was just obsessed with her. And I like, it worked. Like I got people to call me that for years and I have friends and like friends' parents who still call me that to this day. So when I saw Lady Bird, I was like, oh my God, like I did it first, but I really, really liked it. I think you should watch it for sure.
Okay. Cause it's been in my queue, but I hear that it's like, if you have like a tense relationship with like your parents that it might make you like emotional and like, I'm a stone cold bitch. I don't like to cry. That's a lie.
It's emotional in like the best way though. Okay. It's like a release.
Cause I've been doing a lot of audiobooks recently and I was listening to one called We Are Not Free. And it was about the Japanese internment camps and during World War II. And this point happens towards the end of the book and it had me in full blown hysterics. Like I'm just trying to make my sandwich for lunch. Cause I'm usually working on stuff while I'm listening to it. And I'm like, come on, man. I was like, get it together. Do you have like a movie or a book or like any piece of media that you've like been in hysterics over because it's like either that good or it's like touched you
emotionally? Everything. Honestly, everything I watch. I'm trying to think of the things that have made me cry like the most. Any movie or show that's like about like two girl best friends who have like any kind of like tense relationship So like the new episode of Euphoria made me sob, like Thoroughbreds, Heavenly Creatures, 13, like they all follow a very similar formula of like being a young girl and being like in a very like queer coded intense female friendship, and those always like really get to me.
So I'm gonna switch gears again, and be like, hey, where do you see yourself in the next couple of years? Like, where do you hope to be in the next couple of years?
Well, graduating college, and I really want to be able to be a musician full time. But I really want to do set design and costume design for TV. And like my absolute dream would be to be working for like Riverdale or like the equivalent, like to just like have so much fun, like writing something crazy. And I really want to work on like independent feminist horror.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. Independent and anything independent, especially like feminist. There's just something, I don't know, maybe it's just because the storytelling is better. It's not like there's no male gaze, I guess is the phrase I'm looking for. Cause you see that a lot in everything. Everything's all about the men.
Yeah, totally. In everything.
I said, do men deserve rights? The answer is no.
No.
Okay, it's fine. I'll get canceled for that. Whatever. Like, three people will probably listen to this, but one of them will be like, but not all men. And I said, well.
One of them will cancel you.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the first time. It won't be the last time. I have many. My mug says the tears of my enemies on it. I don't know if you can read it because it's backwards. But this is where they all go. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy them every day.
Perfect. Yep. Coffee.
So what do you hope never changes? Like within your music or your life in general?
I have this thing with college wherein like I see it as being like very beautiful and exciting and like kind of cinematic. And I've always been afraid that once I leave college, because college is so like reminiscent of like high school movies, that that'll go away. So I hope that I will continue to see my life as feeling like I'm in like a movie for like ever.
Like you're the main character, like the main character trend on. Do you think you're a main character?
No, not even. Like I just want to feel like I am doing things that are like beautiful and important.
Do you think of yourself more as like a main character or like a side character, like a background character?
I think it's genre dependent. I often feel like the first girl who dies in a horror movie. But that's the only one that I've really thought about.
Oh, speaking of, okay. I remembered another horror movie that I saw. Ready or Not. Mm-hmm. Did you see that one?
Oh, I loved it. It was so good.
So good. I actually found myself like very shocked at the end. And I was like, good job. Snaps to you guys.
No, totally. And any movie with who ends up covered in like mud and blood is like gonna easily become one of my favorites.
And then she was like, in-laws, and that was it. I did have a logistical question towards, you know, like after the credits roll. Like, does she have to keep playing this game because she's no longer in the family? Like, or is her deal with the devil done? Or does she have to?
I think her deal with the devil is done.
Okay. Because it was hard. I had to Google that part. Because I can't do Black Mirror. Like, I can't do Black Mirror because I just don't get it. Like, when everyone was like, oh my gosh, this was the scariest episode of Black Mirror. And I'm like, this is it? I was like, I just watched a man fuck.
Oh, same. I was like, Black Mirror gives me panic attacks.
I was like, I just watched a man fuck a pig. And you're telling me this is like.
I just watched a man fuck a pig.
Like, this is it? I was like, sure. I was like, what is this? I was like, hey, Google, what is the ending of this episode?
Yeah.
But my last, like, real question, or I have two. If you could collab with any artist or director or whatever, if you could collab with anybody, who would it be and why?
Ooh. Whoa. Okay, I've got a couple bouncing around in my head, but this is such a good question. I don't know how I've never thought of this before. Solange, she's just like such a genius and like has cultivated a sound that is like so uniquely hers, and like her production and like everything are just very, very, very impressive to me.
And then my last question is, what advice would you give to creatives or people who are just starting out?
Stop worrying about being embarrassed all the time, because like everything is embarrassing no matter what you do.
That is very true. I've just embraced it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's my list of questions. If you want to ask me any questions, if they say at the end of Hot Ones, you've completed the wings, and you could either say this camera, and tell the people what you got going on.
I don't think I've ever seen Hot Ones, really? But, like, I know what it is. So I catch your drift.
Okay.
My name is Sophia Zarzuela, and you can listen to my music under that name on all streaming platforms. I would love it if you like made a video of like your outfit to one of my songs on TikTok. And if you're interested in like my old music, it's on Bandcamp under the name Strawberry Shortcake.